Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
We're talking about overcoming challenges. And this is the last week I'm going to talk about overcoming challenges. And on last week, well, let's pray first. Can we just pray for the word? Father, we just thank you for every person that's gathered here. I thank you for this challenging series. I thank you that we can take the wisdom of your word and we can apply it to our life. And that it would not be difficult because you give the grace to for us to walk in faith and walk in life in truth. And I pray that this truth that we hear, we be able to understand it, believe it, receive it, walk in it for the glory of God. And for our benefit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I said last week, perhaps one of the greatest and maybe the most greatest challenge in life, with all the things that could come our way in life, is to just keep running the race for God. It's for us as believers and followers of Jesus, it's to follow Jesus, it's to love Jesus, it's to serve Jesus with the same passion and the intensity, or even greater passion and intensity than we first started the race, right? Maybe perhaps that's the greatest challenge, to keep on, just keeping on, despite all these things that come against us. So I'm going to take that message, take it a little bit further and a little bit deeper, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race." Now notice what he says. Not just the race, but what kind of race? The race that is marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, so often in our faith and our walk with God, we can start to wonder and we can start to wander in our faith, right? And when we start to wander and we start to go off track and our life goes sideways, what are we supposed to do? What does the scripture tell us to do? Fix your eyes, focus eyes, get your eyes back on Jesus, right? Because Jesus, he's the true north. When wanderers lost their way, all they had to do, they looked for the northern star, the north star. And if they could see that star, they suddenly recognized the direction that they were heading, and they were able to correct it and continue their journey and get to their destination, right? Jesus is our north star. Fix your eyes on Jesus, right? Acts chapter 4, verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. How important it is to pray and do these things, right? A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Acts 4, verse 32 says, all the believers were united in heart and in mind. Today, my final message on this series is entitled, Run as One. Can we say that together? Run as one. You were not made to run a solo race. You are not to run this race of life alone. In fact, the reality is that you have more running with you than you can even imagine. All the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 are cheering you on. That's what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So think about this. Every Bible hero right now is cheering you on. Abraham, father of our faith, Moses, David, Samson, Ruth, Rahab, Daniel, Joseph, Peter, James, John, Mary, Martha, Paul, Timothy, and on and on and on. All of the heroes of Hebrews 11, they're all examples of faith, of those who went before you, before us, and they're cheering us on, and they're cheering you on, and they're saying, go, City Light Church, go. Go, Brent. No, go, Burton. Go, Kathy. Go, Brady. Go, you know, go, David. Go. Go, run. Go, people of God. You know, keep on. Keep on loving and living and giving. Keep running the race from eternity. All those before us are cheering us on. Amen? And it's so important that we know that. In order to run this race, we've got to realize that there are people around us who will cheer us on, and those even before us are still cheering us on, right? It's important to know that. Second thing, that in order to run this race, the race that God marked out for us, you need to run with the person that God puts beside you. God puts people beside you to run this race. Why? Because no one can run this race by himself. In fact, in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, verse 6 says, then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals but not to take a change of clothes. Wow. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you've abandoned those people to their own fate. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. Why? Why? Because it wasn't going to be easy. And because sometimes they would face great adversity. And sometimes they would just literally have to shake the dust off their feet. It is hard to do life alone, isn't it? You know what? I thank God for the people that God brought to us to give us. I thank God for them. I thank for people like Brent and Amy. I mean, Brent and Amy, incredible. I mean, Amy got saved here, right? Brent was saved a bit before, but he brought his wife. And now they're serving in the house. We know them for 10 years. Incredible people. We could not run alone. We needed them, and God sent them to us. I think about Dave and Yolanda. Wow, what a heart and a passion they have for God. They come to serve alongside of us. You know, I think about Rick and Donna. We've probably known them for over 25 years. You know, and we lost connection with them when we moved to Leicester, but we said, we got to get them back. Friends of faith, co-laborers in Christ, right? And many more people God has sent and still is sending. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. We're co-workers, co-laborers, right? Co-workers with God, God's field. You know what? Alone, you can only do so much, you can only go so far, right? You know, alone, you're going to flag, you're going to falter, and you may not even finish. Right? I think one of the greatest dangers that I see that Christians, you know, are endangered by is the not finishing of the race that God marked out for them and not finishing it well. I see so many Christians literally dropping off the meters, you know. And it's so important that we need each other. We just can't do it alone, can we? You know, years ago, just after I accepted Christ, I want to tell you that I was a loner. I lived a sheltered life. I was superficial. You know, I was a shallow person because I was a loner. It was all about me, myself, and I, right? And that's when God spoke to me a word clearly. He says, Doug, you've got to get past your loneliness. You've got to connect with people. You've got to connect. And then in that time, God spoke to me these words. A lone ranger is a stranger in danger, right? A lone ranger is a stranger in danger. You know, and God gave me that coin. If you see it anywhere, it came from the Holy Spirit to me, right? A lone ranger is a stranger in danger. You just cannot make it alone, right? And you think about it, as individuals, God gave us each other. He gave us each other to do life with friends of faith. As pastors, God gave us, to Karen and I, Pastor Mel and Heather Mullen from Red Deer. And Pastor Mel, he's my example. You know, he's my encourager, and he pushes me to keep running the race. Even last year, I felt so down, I felt like kind of just giving up. He just pushed me. He says, your time is not up. Your best days are ahead of you. Keep running the race. You know, keep running. You know, I think as a church, God's gave us Home Church in Red Deer to run with so that we can go further, faster, farther than we've ever gone before as a church, and we cannot do it alone, right? I want to say this again. It is so important that you run with the right people. So important that you run with the right people. You know, and the Bible talks about, well, do you remember that saying by John Maxwell? He said, your destiny, your future will be determined by the five people that are closest to you, the people that you spend the most time with. That's what your destiny and your future is going to be like. Wow, for some of you, that's got to make you think, right? It is so important who we run with. And the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked because we were made to walk with and to work with each other together, right? 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? The Amplified Version takes that meaning a little bit further, a little bit deeper. It says, do not make mismatched alliances with them, with those people who are inconsistent with your faith. With your faith. So I say, make sure that the people that you hang with most, and can I also say this? Make sure that the Christians that you hang with most love Jesus as much as you do, or even more. So important. Sometimes you've got to distance yourself from people who are going to slow you down and hold you back from serving Jesus, from running the race. And sometimes you've got to downright disconnect from some people who pull you away from Jesus. Right? Sometimes you literally have to shake the dust off your feet and say, I'm moving on with God. Right? And you need to leave some people behind and not be afraid to do that. But I think that takes wisdom, it takes prayer. But I think we need to come. And I see some people just holding on to some relationships that are damaging them and destroying their faith in God. And, you know, this can happen in boy-girl, guy-girl relationships. You know, well, he or she was not the believer, the kind of believer that I am, but, make sure, right? You know, run with the people. Run with the person that God puts beside you, that God brings to you. Amen? Don't go looking for someone in this wild search and take stabs in the dark. And say, I hope it works out. Pray and ask God to send that person. You know, a good example of my, he was here, I'd have Jay stand up. Jay, my son Jay, he got married when he was 32 years old. And Karen was so worried, I'll talk about Karen, she's not here. She was freaking out. You know, when he turned 25, where's his wife? When he turned 27, where's his wife? You know, 30, still not married. Is he ever going to get married? Ah! You know? But you know what? I meant just talking to Jay. You know what Jay said to me? He said, Dad, I don't think I'm ready. I think God knows when I'm ready. He says, I need to get a career. I need to get a career. I need to have an education. I need to be able to support a family, you know. And Dad, and I've got all these girls. All these girls are coming at him. But he said, you know what, Dad? I don't want any of them except the one God wants for me. And he waited. And God gave him the best girl he could ever have in his life. You know? And he waited. And he trusted God. Eden Fontaine's, even Shimoda is a phenomenal girl if you haven't met her yet. You know, they're in Calgary. Eden runs, just give it back to him. Eden basically runs the church there, so Jay has to go there for a while. We're trusting that, you know, once they have babies and they're going to settle down over here, okay? Don't put that on tape. Is it possible to take that off? No. Don't let Pastor Leon hear that, right? Right? Make sure the people that you run with are the people that God puts you beside you. Amen? Yes. Amen? Number three, if we're going to run this rate marked out for us, we've got to run as one. As one. So important. You know, a couple of days ago, every morning I take out the dog. You know, Karen's not here. She's gone for a few days. And I took out the dog. She's blind and deaf, so I've got to carry her out. And I put her on the lawn, and I'm standing there just waiting for her, you know, and all of a sudden I hear this racket. You know what it was? It was a flock of geese flying overhead, and they were just honking. Honk, 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 honk. It was so loud, it was overpowering the traffic noise. And I thought, wow. You know, I looked at that. There's about 30 geese, quite a large herd, 30, 40. I thought, that's a picture of the body of Christ. Why are they honking? Why are they making so much noise? Anybody know why? What are they doing? They're encouraging other to keep running the race. Keep flying, right? You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 4, the Amplified Version says, for just as in one physical body, we have many parts. One body, we have many parts. And these parts do not all have the same function or special use. So we who are many are nevertheless, we're just one body in Christ. And then individually, we are parts of one another. We're mutually dependent on each other. In other words, we were made for each other. It's God's providence that you're here today, that you're here with us, right? We're one body, and we function as one body. We're made to run as one body, right? Arms, legs, nose, toes, right? Kidneys, livers, heart, lungs, one body. We're all parts of one body. All of us play a part. 1 Corinthians 12:22 says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary, right? And the parts that are not seen are often the most significant and most important parts in the body. You know, if you look at the early church in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, we read some scriptures out of, it's a picture of a church that's literally running as one, see? Everybody played their part. They did what they could do. Every need was met because everybody was running and everybody was doing their part. And therefore, the gospel was going forward and it was advancing, right? You know, I think about the many people who are doing what they can do, you know, right in here, right in City Light Church and our local church family. And I think of people like Janina Friesen. Janina's here, but she's serving in bed. Janina Friesen with her two boys, Jaden and Cale, they come all the way from Lomond every Sunday, rain, snow, or shine. They're here. And they're serving in the back, and they're serving in the kids' ministry. They're doing what they can. They're amazing, you know? And I think about, I've got a list of names here. I'm probably not going to get through them all. I think about Jackson. Where's Jackson? This is an amazing young man, isn't he? Amazing. God brings him here to Lethbridge to get an education. And while he's here, he's serving, he's giving, he's playing incredible drums, like Laura plays incredible, Roger, we got, you know, it's amazing. They're doing what they can do, right? And I think about worship. I think about Renee Paul. Wow, and Renee's been with us for such a long time, just, you know, she's just there. No matter what happens, she's there to help lead the worship. Alan and Kathy, the ranchers, wow, what a great team you guys are. You're taking worship further, deeper, better than it's ever been before, right? Awesome job. They're doing what they could do, using their gifts and their talents, you know, doing what they can do. And I think of people like like Ursula. Ursula Brass is an amazing woman. I saw Ursula's hand go up. We just baptized her maybe about a year ago. But it's amazing. She's a mother. She's a woman of faith, and she's bringing her relatives, and she's just a great model and example of a woman of God to me. Phenomenal woman. Isn't that amazing? I think about Kathy Mack, too. Kathy's the same. She comes in. I saw Kathy's hand. She receives Christ. She's leading her family to Christ now. Several people and members in her family have gotten saved. You know, Kyle and Lindsay, and Lindsay's serving, and Kyle's serving. That's their grandkids. Amazing. Amazing. Doing what they can do, right? Serving, ushering, greeting, you know, leading people to Christ, bringing people. It's all part of it. I think about Yosef and Aiden and Barrows. What an incredible family. See, miracles to that family. Such great support. And the Ayanas, you know, Grandma and Kenna. Great supporters, great encouragers, great people that are just praying for it, that strength through a body. Wow, so incredible. George and Treva, I don't know where they are. They must be here somewhere today. Long-standing contributors, members, right? John and Peggy Libel, you don't see them, but they're, you know, they come. They've been with this church like even before we were here, since day one. They just don't give up. Kim Hankey's been here long time. She serves, she gives. Amazing people doing what they could do, running as one, making us stronger. Seth and Sandra are coming from the table. They're amazing, you know, people. God's adding new people all over the place. John and Nina Fair. John's helping to serve now. Jeremy and Jen are so thankful for all these people that are coming to serve. You know, Ryan serving. Everyone is doing what they can do, just doing their part. I could just go on and on, couldn't I? Each playing their part, running as one body. You think about Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had many, 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 many co-workers in Christ. In Romans chapter 16, he lists people that he's greeting. He says, greet so these people for me. And he's saying, greet these people. Greet Aquila and Priscilla, Epaphroditus, Mary, Andronicus, Junius, Amphiletus, Urbanus, Stachys, Apollos, Aristobulus, Herodian, Narcissus, Tryphena, and Tryphosa. They must be sisters. Tryphena, Tryphosa, twins maybe. Persis, Rufus, Asyncritus, Phleglong. That sounds like funny. That sounds like somebody else. something else. Hermes, Petralis. You know, an audience. There's at least 25 people just in one chapter that he mentions. People that are running as one with them. In other chapters, he talks about, he speaks of Barnabas, Timothy, Lois, Eunice, Silas, Mark, Demas, Zacchaeus, Cephas, Clement, Gaius, Lydia, Nisibus, Eubulus, Erastus, Tertullus, Prudence, Linus, Claudia, Apphia, Nympha, Archippus, Archippus, Aristarchus, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, Peter, Philemon, Titus, Apollos, James, John, and many, many more people running with them, right? All co-laborers, co-workers, fellow prisoners, you know, friends of faith, running with them, encouraging them, right? We need to run as one. Paul, it looked like Paul in his writings, it looked like he was just running alone. But no, he was running with many, right? Each of you have been given a gift from God, a spiritual gift. Your gift is needed. I want to tell you that. Your gift is needed. Your gift is not insignificant. You are needed. You know, we need you to run the race with us, right? We need you to hear the call of God. You know what the call of God is? Let's run the race together. Let's reach Lethbridge. Let's reach a region for Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's run together. You know, this. The whole purpose of this series is to strengthen our church, get us going together, to run together, because it's time. God wants to do something through City Light, and it's to reach people in a way we've never reached people before in our city, to impact lives like never before. Amen? And they're going to see a great growth and progress in our church in this next year or so. Yeah? Amen? I believe that with all my heart. The best days are yet before this church. We've struggled, but we're coming out. We're going into the greater purposes of God. And we've got the team of people here to do it, right? The bigger the team, the more we can accomplish, right? And we want to accomplish big things for God, because he is not small-minded. God wants to reach our city, and he wants to use us dynamically. And that's why point number four, the Holy Spirit is with us. We have the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. We're not doing this alone. Holy Spirit, God himself is in us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power. What will you receive? Power. When Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. This directive was given by Jesus to the disciples. To 120 people were sitting in the upper room. This 120 people turned into 3,000 people in Acts chapter 2. And it turned into 5,000 in Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5. And it just kept growing. And the church today is alive and it's going around the world. Because everybody is running as one. Amen? It takes oneness, takes unity. It's the greatest testimony of the reality of God when there's unity in the church. One heart, one mind, and we're running together. Amen? We are running together. Enough of this side stuff issues. Let's get our focus on God. Let's run together. Amen? You know, the whole purpose of this series, and I think it's been a great series. It's been a challenging one for me too. The whole purpose of this series is to help us get over the challenges of life. Help us to get over the storms. Help us to get over the stresses of life. Help us to get over the not enough money problems and the trials and deal with the issues of our past. It's to help us get over those things. The reason why we're doing this whole series, therefore, is to help you progress. To help you move forward into God's plan, God's purpose for your life, right? Not get stuck in the problems and stuck in the past and stuck in stress and stuck in illness in your body, but to come out of those things so that you can serve God so passionately with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know, that's the reason why we're doing it. We can overcome every challenge as we run as one. When we're one in heart and mind and spirit, we can do anything through Jesus Christ. Right? Together, we love one another. Together, we support one another. Together, we encourage one another. We pray for one another. You know, we strengthen one another. Together, we move ahead. Together, we progress into the greater things that God has for us as a church and as individually. Amen? So let's run as one. One heart, one mind, one spirit, one purpose. Amen? Amen. I could finish there. But can I give you one more point? Yeah, maybe two. And I think this is so important as we bring this series to a close. Number five. Well, I'm going to give you one more. Run for what matters the most. Run for what matters the most. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, "Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Now, the Corinthians church were made up with, Corinth was in Greece. Paul's talking to the Greeks here. And the Greeks had a form of games similar to the Olympics called the Isthmian Games. And the biggest difference, I guess, was what they were running for. See, the Isthmian Games, they didn't have any silver or bronze medals or prizes. All they had was one major prize for every category, whether it was running, jumping, you know, they even had poetry and drama and things like that, because they were Greeks. But there was only one prize for every major category. And what it was a wreath, a crown of glory for the runners, a crown of recognition, of success, a crown of privileges. And this is what they were running after. And here Paul says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. He's saying, you know, I run with focus. I know what I want out of this life. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body. I discipline myself, he says, and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul says, run for what's important. Run for the crown. Run for the eternal prize. That's what he's saying here. And we think about what people are running for in this world. Some are running for careers. Some are running for fame. Some are running to be star athletes, right? Running for everything this world has to offer, and money, and fame, and sex, in stuff, all earthly crowns, right? Having it all, but in the end, losing it all, right? What does Paul say here? He said there's something way more fulfilling than a crown that breaks apart and literally turns to dust. All this stuff that we have, that new car, or that new sofa, or even that house that you bought and that you run so hard to get to have. You know, it's all going to turn to nothing over time. It's all going to break down, turn to dust, right? Over time, it's worth nothing. God says, run for what really counts. Run for the eternal crown. Run for a crown that lasts forever. Amen? When you think about Jesus, Jesus wore a crown of thorns. And this crown was a crown of pain. It was a crown that mocked his authority. And it's a picture of our sins. And Jesus took this crown of thorns upon himself so that we could wear the eternal crown. And the Bible tells us, what is the eternal crown? This is what the crown is. This eternal prize that God wants us to run for is the crown of life. It's a crown of life. It's for those who endure testing and trials and who remain faithful to God. It's an incorruptible crown. The Bible says it's indestructible. It's kept for you, right, in heaven, so that when you're there, it's there for you. Remember in Matthew 6, he says, do not work for things here on earth. Do not store up treasures here on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. It's an incorruptible crown. It's a crown of righteousness for those who have been made right with God by believing in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the crown of glory. It's for those people. Peter says, it's for those whose heart is to help other people. It's for those who are models and examples, who shepherd God's people, who serve God's people, who help God's people. It's the crown of glory that you'll get when you get there. And it's also the crown of rejoicing. It's the rejoicing. It's the joy and the reward that you will experience when you stand before God on that final day. And when you're standing with the people that you have influenced and that you have brought to Jesus. Amen? The only thing you can take to heaven, is the people that you influenced and that you brought to Christ. Do you know that? That's the only thing. Here's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy, the crown I receive for my work. Like Paul said, you're my crown. You and the people that I brought to Christ, right? So keep on running. Keep praying for your neighbor to come to Christ. Keep on running so that your kids are going to serve Jesus, right? Keep on running so that Lethbridge and Region can come to Christ. Keep on running. Amen? The Holy Spirit, I believe, is asking us some questions right now. What are you living for? What are you living for? Right? Are you running for what really matters in this life? Are you running the race for what really matters? And are you going through the challenges and are you facing the challenges of life so that you can run the race that God has before you? Are you running it so that you can do what matters the most? Or are you running it for your own comfort and for your own goals? Amen? And I think that's a question that we need to come to terms with. Every single one of us, what are we living for? You know, what are we believing God for? You know, this life is so quick. It's like an instant
compared of time, right? Of eternity. What are we living for? All this stuff, so limited, lasts only for a little time, but eternity is forever. Let's live for what really matters. And I hope that you and I could say like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness with the Lord, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." Amen. Let's run as one, right? Let's run for what matters the most. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. I just want you to just agree with me in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be able to truly understand that we have been fearfully and wonderfully created. That we were created for a divine purpose to do something with our life and allow you to use our life to make a difference in this world that makes a difference in eternity. That we are part of something in our Christian faith that is so much bigger than we even imagined. We're part of something bigger than just ourselves. We're a part of your family, your church, which you said in your word, the gates of hell would not be able to overcome. Help us to realize that with your grace and your power, we can truly run this race. That we can overcome every challenge that the world can throw out against us. That we truly can run as one, this race that has been specifically marked out for each one of us. Help us to fix our goals, our eyes, and focus on Jesus, and to run for the ultimate reward that we could ever gain as we leave this life, which is the crown of righteousness, to be right with life, to be right with God. It's the crown of life. May we run that with passion, with a pleasure, with the peace of God, and with the power of your Holy Spirit moving through our lives. Thank you that you have good things planned for us, not just in this life, but even greater things in the life to come for us, eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone would agree and say, amen, amen. Just bow, keep your heads bowed for a minute, just for a couple minutes here. You know, maybe you're here today, and you need a life change, right? You need a life change. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is a life changer. And he gave his life so that you could have a brand new life, right? He gave his life to you. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died a horrible death so that we could have a life that is new and clean and fresh. He did all that for you. And if you've never received Christ, you can receive him right now just by saying this very simple prayer, but it's the most powerful prayer. If you've never prayed this before, this totally changes your whole scope, life, destiny, right? So if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart, maybe you know about God, you know about Jesus, you've read about him in Sunday school, and you read good stories about him. You never personally said, okay, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I believe in you and what you did, and I want to surrender my life to you. Give me this new life. The Bible says, he believes in me, he becomes born again. It's almost like you start all over in life. So you've never done that before. I want to lead you in this powerful prayer. Can I lead all of us? Can we all say this prayer out loud? Repeat after me and say these words.
to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross for my sins. Today, I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation and eternal life and the beginning of a brand new life here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you said that prayer and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, could you just raise your hand and hold it up high? You know, Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father and the angels in heaven. Anybody, raise your hand. You said that prayer and you invited Jesus into your heart. Anybody? All right? I see that hand. Thank you. Greatest prayer you ever prayed. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Others, raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.